I started a third.
Oh my gosh! What?
So you're free.
I'm free.
You are free to continue feeding us this good word.
Oh, praise God. Okay, well, we're going to jump right back in, and we're going to get into the gifts, and we're just going to go through them quickly, and we're just going to talk a little bit about them briefly, although she said I could keep going. So what we're going to do is in verse 12, Romans 12, verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That's why I say these things are growing. The Bible says, we already read it, every one of us has a measure of faith. See, sometimes we're like, I just don't have enough faith. No, you have enough faith to move right where you are. Move right with the faith you have, and as you move in that, I believe that that faith gets stronger and you're able to do even more. Okay, it's almost like faith is being exercised. I just see it like your muscles are getting stronger. That faith is getting stronger. You have all the faith you need. Okay, and he said you've got a measure that's enough to move. So these things are gonna, these gifts are not gonna operate without faith. Okay, it's going to have to be you saying, you know what, I believe this is God. I believe that he really gave me this gift, and I'm going to step out and use it. And as you do that, it will begin to, as you step out, right, when you put your foot in the water, God parts it. Amen. It's the same thing when you step out by faith with your natural ability. You say, you know what, I have a natural gift to teach, and you step out and begin to teach, his super will come on your natural, and then he shows up to do something that's amazing. Amen. And so it takes faith though for these to operate. So the first one is prophecy. Now, some people are, I believe, born with this gift of prophecy, in the sense that, let me describe it to you. I'm going to kind of give you a little description. We say that the prophetic people are the seers of the body. They're the eyes of the body, okay? Now, let me describe this. They often, people who walk in prophetic giftings have insight, foresight, okay? Often, you can even see them, they act like watchdogs. I believe that a lot of times that is very strong in the beginning. And what has happened is they need to grow in love. And as they grow in love, that watchdog mentality will be tempered with love. Okay. Remember, all of our gifts got to come out of the source of love. So anytime they're outside of that, they become abusive. Okay. So it has to come out of love. And listen, I walk in some of those prophetic gifts, and I was very, boy, if anybody knew me before God really, you know, started to work, get me into that, his love into me and to flow out of me, I'm telling you, I was hardcore. Nobody wanted to be around me. I was a watchdog, and I literally would set everybody straight. And it wasn't pleasant. I did a lot of wounding in those days, okay? But I was sincere. I thought that I was helping, okay? So a lot of times they'll act like watchdogs. A lot of times prophetic people can even see danger coming. They see things. They see ahead, okay? I see them almost like sometimes as watchmen on the wall. They're very in tune with things that are going on. They often, you'll find in the beginning especially, they're very much a warning of sin, okay? They're always like, they're those people that you avoid because because they are literally like going to tell you what needs to change in your life, okay? And so they don't have no trouble saying, hey, this is not good and it needs to get out of your life, okay? And so they often have that within them. Also, they tend to be verbal because prophecy is a speaking gift. You're going to have to open your mouth. So they can be verbal. But I know prophets who are not verbal. They don't spend a lot of time talking, but they can talk when they need to, okay? So they can also come across as judgmental and impersonal, okay? So they just are those kind of people. My husband walks in some of those prophetic giftings, and all his life people have always thought he was mad, okay? But he's not. He's not. He's a watchman. If you ever come to the refuge, you'll see he's standing up, and he's always watching. He's just constantly alert and aware. And it's not that, sometimes, let me say this, a lot of times people will think, well, he doesn't worship the same as everybody else does, and he's not really entering in. And I say, no, you know what? We need to give people grace to be who God made them to be, okay? Because not everybody's going to worship like you do. Not everybody's going to run off and do what you do. And we were somewhere this weekend that We had such an awesome time, but one of the things that, you know, I saw was a lot of critiquing people because they weren't worshiping the same way everybody, that person was or whatever. And I just don't agree with that. It's wrong. In fact, what we do is we hinder ourselves, because those people that are operating in that gift and they're doing their job, the body is weakened if we conform them to us. Okay, if we get them to, we're not trying to be conforming them to us. We're letting them be conformed to the image of Christ. And God has put himself in them, and they need to be who God made them to be. So let them be who God made them to be. It's not our job to go and impress people to be like us. Amen. And so I think a lot of times with the prophetic people, we think that they're not entering in or whatnot, because they are very, sometimes they tend to be very serious. Okay. And so give them space to be who God made them to be. They also tend to be very loyal to truth, even over friendship. So they are serious about what the Word of God says, and they will stand for it. It's very black and white for them. There is no in between. It's like you're either here or you're not, and they just can't hardly see beyond that. It's the way God made them to be. They're very serious and very dedicated. When they say they're going to do something, they're dedicated. Also, they're gifted often to apply the word to a situation so that the problem is identified but also solved, okay? God doesn't just want to expose something. He wants to bring a solution to that thing, amen? God is now not about shaming and condemning. He's about bringing people out and bringing them up, amen? And so, but let me also say, in the beginning with the prophetic giftings, it tends to be just a pulling out the sin, and it can come out shame and condemnation until they come into some growth in that where they begin to say, hey, God doesn't want to shame and condemn you. He's exposing this so you can come out and come up. And they want to help you come up to the next place. I believe that's a growing process in the giftings of these prophetic giftings. And so also they will deal with sin, and they want to help bring restoration to even relationships, okay? It's not just about exposing something. It's about bringing solutions, okay? Also, when someone's walking in those prophetic giftings, they often have a strong sense of right and wrong, okay? Like I said, it's black and white, boy. It's just black and white. And they often speak out against compromise and evil, all right? I was very strong in this when I first got saved. I mean, I even annoyed my own self, okay? I'm just going to say, I just didn't even like me, okay? It was so bad. And I saw it black and white. And it was like, it was weird because I didn't tend to be like that to everybody all the time. But those that were close to me, boy, I was just like, this got to change right now. This is how it is. And so God will take that. Give the people who have this gift some grace, okay? They need to grow in that. And God is going to temper that with love if they'll keep pressing into him, okay? So if this is you, I want you to realize that you need to grow in love, okay? And you're going to have to seek God to cause him to temper this gift with love. That's one, I think, one of the weaknesses that maybe has to be dealt with when someone has these prophetic giftings, okay? So that is the that gift of prophecy. So that'll help you kind of understand a little bit more about yourself if you're strong in that gift. Let's look at the next one. The next one, it says, or ministry. One of the gifts is ministry. And it says, if you have the gift of ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Okay? So let me say it this way. Ministry is also, this word is specifically about being a servant. It's about being, it's really also the helps ministry. Okay? It's the serving behind the scenes. Okay? Listen, the body cannot go on without the serving behind the scenes. Amen? I cannot tell you how much is done in the body of Christ that if I didn't have these people doing it, we could not function properly. Okay. Service ministry is vital. And the Bible says the least is actually the greatest. Okay. So we need to understand that place. I want you to use, sometimes people say, well, it's just, you know, I feel like I just don't even matter. I just clean the church. It's like, no, woman of God, man of God, that is vital to what we're doing. In fact, God holds you to such a high esteem for what you do. You know why? Because you don't get credit and glory a lot of times. And God, I just believe God has something very special for people who don't get this kind of glory and recognition. In fact, the Bible says that those who are in the gifts that are seen, they already have somewhat of a glory because they're constantly recognized. But I want you to know you're very dear to the Lord's heart if you have the service giftings. Now, let's talk about what the service gifts of helps are. They're the hands of the body. They are concerned with meeting the needs of others, okay? They're highly motivated doers, okay? I'm telling you, we'll come in. This is terrible, but it's just the giftings that we have, different giftings. We'll come in after service, and we always have food after service every time. And so I come in, and I'm telling you, that food is already taken care of. I don't even know who even did it. I walk in. The food is already up on the counter. When I'm over there, like, ministering to people, talking and everything, and I look up, and the kitchen's cleaned. People already went in there and cleaned it. And see, this is a helps ministry, and it blesses me to no end. I cannot tell you how vital it is, but these people are motivated doers. I mean, like, I'm like, they are up and at it. They see the need. I'm like, I hadn't even thought about it. It's like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I guess we probably should clean up. Okay. It's like, you see, they're already on it. They see something needs to be done. Boom. They got it taken care of. And I'm just blown away by the helps ministry. They tend to overcommit. Okay. These people tend to overcommit. But they find joy in serving and meeting short-term goals. See, when they have these goals set and they fulfill them, they're very satisfied, okay? That's another part of helps ministry. They can see short-term goals, they can get it done, and they feel joy from it. Like, they just love finishing a job, okay, and seeing it done. They also, I find it so neat that they are driven to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. They just see practical needs that need to be done. The toilet cleaned. I mean, literally, they're like, yeah, that toilet was dirty. You know how it is? Sometimes you're like, I used to find myself saying things like, yeah, well, I can, maybe someone needs to blah, blah, blah. You know, someone is out there saying, you know what? Yeah, someone probably needs to start cleaning that bathroom because they're not, whoever's doing it is not doing a good job. What it probably means is you're the one that needs to clean the bathroom, okay? You're seeing it, you see? Yeah. But a lot of times the people that are not gifted in this area, they don't see it. It's just like, eh, that was good enough. It's fine. It's whatever. But if you see these needs, it's probably because God's gifted you in that area. So they love to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. The server is also available to see a project through to the end. And they often enjoy doing physical work. They just enjoy it, you know? And so if that's you, God's gifted you that way. You don't have to necessarily wait to know what you're supposed to do. It's almost like is the word innate? I don't know. It's just something that's in you. You do it wherever you go. It's like, you can't help it. You see a need wherever you go and you're like, I mean, I'm telling you, we had a precious lady who showed up at the house of God one day, and it was her first time to ever be there, and we're eating and everything, and I look up, and she's in the kitchen cleaning. I was like, what? She's like, well, I just saw, you know, it needed to be picked up, and see, it was a gift in her. Mm-hmm. So don't keep waiting, but what is my gift? Tap into one of these, because there's no doubt one of these is you. Tap into it, and then start doing it. Just start doing it wherever you go. Okay. So that's the ministry of helps, and helps is in so many different facets. It may be that you see practical needs wherever you go. It doesn't necessarily mean just cleaning. It's just the example I gave. But wherever you see a need, you jump in and help. So that is the ministering and serving thing. Okay, the gift. All right. The next one, it says, "He that teacheth on teaching." Okay. Some people are just gifted to teach, okay? I remember it is one of the areas where God's gifted me. Like I said, you can have, you're usually strong in one, and then others you'll flow in some. But even when I was a little kid, I loved playing teacher. And, you know, I set up a whole classroom just with my sister, and I've got it all out. And I was like, I was the teacher, and she was always the student. And I loved it. It was like one of my favorite things to do. And she wasn't so happy about it because she was like, I don't want to go to school. I'm like, come on, you know, this is so fun, you know. And so I loved playing that. And so teachers, what I love about teachers, boy, is so precious. And it's probably because it's one of my giftings. See, what's one of your giftings? It's just like, it's you love it, okay? So it's very special to you. So the teachers are the mind of the body, okay? And their gift is, sometimes we call it a foundational gift, because teachers are building, okay? They are building the body of Christ, literally. You think about a house being built up from the ground up, that's what teachers do. Now, let me say this about prophecy. Prophecy can get into, like we said, even being able to tell something that's coming, okay? So it's foresight. You can see things that are coming, but you can also, you tell people things that are coming. So prophecy is explaining something that, let me say it here. Here is the prophecy, but here's the word of prophecy, but all the way over here is the fulfillment of prophecy. And you got to go all the way in between. Okay. Now, teachers, on the other hand, they are foundational because teachers are staying in one place and they build up. Prophecy goes from here to over here. Okay. So a lot of times people that are prophetic then try to come in and teach, but they're not good teachers. And the reason is because teachers are building up. And so you have to be very careful because, listen, sometimes when somebody's very strong and prophetic, they'll start teaching things that are prophetic instead of teaching foundational. And so we have to be careful in this sense, because this is where we get off into teaching things that are not, I guess, maybe even in the Word of God. All of a sudden we start teaching things that are way in left field. And it's because we didn't understand that there's a difference between prophecy and teaching. Let me say this. Teachers are passionate about studying. I love to study. Boy, I didn't in school, and that's why I know this is from God. But boy, I can sit all day long and study the Word of God. I get so excited by it. And teachers love to study. They also tend to emphasize the accuracy of words. You'll hear a teacher, they're constantly telling you, oh, well, this word is such and such. You know, they'll describe the different kinds of love, agape, eros. They'll break down all the words. They like to tell you what everything means. They're very serious about being accurate, okay? They take it very serious. They want to know the facts, and they want to present only accurate information. And that's important. This is important. This is why God gives certain people to be teachers, because it is important. You can't, when you build something, it's got to be sound. You can't one day put a board here and then decide, you know what, after everything's finished, I don't think I like that board there. I'll pull that out. The whole house can come down. Okay. So they're very serious about what they build in here, because it's going to stand, and it's going to stand for the test of time. Okay. So that's what teachers do. Biblical doctrine is very important to teachers. Like, they take that serious. And some people are like, I don't know, man, you get so serious about all this, and I think it could be either way. And they're like, no, it's not every way, okay? So they take it so serious, and praise God for it, because they are building up the body, okay? So that's teachers. The next one, let's look, it says, or he that exhorts on exhortation. Exhortation is also encouragers, okay? They are the mouths of the body. Let me say it like this. They're the cheerleaders of the household, okay? They are positive, and they always encourage others, okay? Boy, when somebody comes along and tells someone the hard word, the exhorter is right beside, and they're giving the encouraging aspect. They're like, ugh. In fact, they feel so uncomfortable, okay? They feel super. I used to operate in the hardcore prophetic stuff, but I'm telling you, God's brought me into the exhortation side of it. And I'm telling you, sometimes when I hear people that are prophetic give the hard thing, I'm like, oh, that was so hard. I don't know. And then I got to jump in and try to bring the cheerleader side of it. You got this. It's okay. You can do it. You know, it's like, that's what exhorters do. Their heart is just like, ah. And so they want to just encourage a person, and they want to tell them all the good things. They're motivated by the desire to see people reach their full potential. They love to see people reach their full potential. Okay. They love to see people grow and mature. They love discipleship, okay? This is just very important to exhorters, okay? Also, they love to see people mature spiritually. They don't just want to give an encouraging word. They want to see them mature spiritually. They want to see these people go their full potential. They're often drawn to the ministries of counseling, teaching, or discipling. You'll often see them go in those areas. That's the exhorter, okay? So now let's look at the givers. It says that he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. And one way says these are the arms of the body. Now, they enjoy reaching out through giving of their time, talent, and financial resources, okay? They're actually excited by the prospect of blessing others. They love to give, okay? They desire to give quietly in secret. Usually, they don't want anybody to know. And these will be the people who say, please don't tell anybody I did this. You know, just give it to them. Why? Because they don't need anything other than to give. To give is what fills them to the full, okay? They don't need to be recognized for it. But they also motivate others to give. My sister is, one of my sisters is a giver. She has the gift of giving. And she's motivated me to be a giver. I've watched her give so freely, and she loves it. And I used to say all the time, oh, well, I hope one day that I can, you know, God bless me financially so I can give one day. He said, Tammy, give and I'll bless you. Go ahead and give what you have, okay? And then I'll bless you to give more. I said, oh, okay, God, yes. So I started giving. Okay, also, they give cheerfully, and they always give the best that they can. They're also givers are alert to people's needs, their physical needs. They're very alert to it. They see the person that needs new clothes, right? They see the person who maybe doesn't have the food that they need. They see the person who needs help with some financial, paying some of their bills. They see these things, okay? So they... Yeah. You may keep going?
Yes.
Okay. All right. They find, listen, givers.
I don't have internet over here. It's a problem.
Okay.
Yeah. The storm knocked it out.
Yes.
We're still recording on here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we'll finish it up.
Yes.
Okay. The givers are alert to people's needs. Okay. They find the needs of others, and they find joy in meeting those needs through their time, talent, and financial resources. Okay. The next one is, it says, he that rules, rule with diligence, okay? These are people who are have leadership gifts, but more so, I'd say, administrative, okay? They're administrative gifts. We call them the head of the body. Sometimes we even call them the shoulders of the body, okay? They see overall pictures. They see the big picture, okay? And they also know how to set long-term goals, okay? They can see the end of something. They see the long-term goal. Now, sometimes administrative people can come in and set the short-term to get us to the long-term. But sometimes someone in this position only sees the long-term, and they need someone else to come along and set the short-term, okay? They're good organizers usually, and they are really good at finding efficient ways of getting work done, okay? They also may not necessarily seek leadership. They don't necessarily want to be in leadership positions, but they will assume it if no one is in there, okay? So a lot of times these people don't want to be in leadership positions. They just take the position because here's what it is. They'll say, nobody's going to do it. I mean, like, because they see what needs to be done. They're like, oh my gosh, these people need some organization. Okay. They know how to get it. In fact, we have a sweet sister at church, and she's always like, I don't want to be a leader. But I'm telling you, she can't stand it. She's just like sitting there and she's watching, and she's like, I can see it in her. She's like, I know a better way. Okay. And so I'm like, well, come on, tell us your better way. And it's always usually a better way. She's like, well, why don't we just do it this way? And it's like, oh, okay, perfect. So these people can see how something needs to get done, and then they have the ability to get people to get it done, okay? And so also they feel fulfilled when others come together to complete a task. They love putting a group together and watching that group get this thing done. They love it. They're fulfilled by it. And they are also able to accomplish tasks and solve problems really through analysis and delegation. They're just very analytical, and they know how to delegate, okay? They often discern the gifts and talents of others and see where others fit best to accomplish goals. They are really good at literally seeing where a person belongs. And so, you know what? If you have this gift, you can always take that. I love the people who have this gift, okay? And I love it when they come to me and say, hey, you know what? you know, God's really gifted me this area, and I just wanted to impart it to you that, you know, one area I see is that so-and-so is really gifted at such and such. Just thought I'd let you know. And it helps me because I go, oh, okay, yeah, they'd be really good in that. Okay. And so I can see maybe where a person would fit and fit well in the body of Christ in the service and ministry. Okay, and the last one we're going to do is that he that shows mercy, let him do it with cheerfulness, okay? Now, mercy gifts are the heart of the body, okay? They easily sense the joy or distress in others, and they're sensitive to others' feelings and needs. I'm telling you, it's probably my strongest gift. I always pick up on what's going on with somebody, okay? And so what happens is a lot of times, if you've been around me long, you probably heard me say to you before, are you okay? Okay. And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, I'm just like, I just want to make sure you're okay, you know, because you just didn't seem like yourself today. And so they're always picking up where somebody's at. And so I was telling yesterday at church, it was funny because a lot of times with this gift, you have to grow in it because you think everything's about you. Okay. You know that song? Okay. Because what happens is that person is weird and you go, did I do something? Okay. Are they mad at me? Like, have I upset them? Okay. Because you constantly, you're tapping into what's going on in somebody else and your heart is going out to them and you start to think it's about you. I must have offended them, you know? So you have to learn to come over that and go, wait a minute, not everything's about you, okay? What is happening is it's a gift. And so you can press on in and go to that person, set yourself aside and say, this ain't about me. And say, because most often what I've found, it's never about me. Mm-hmm. So something is going on with them and I'm just gifted to sense it. And so I've learned to go ahead and tap into that and go over and say, everything okay with you? I just feel like maybe something's bothering you. And you can begin to talk to them and it gives them all, and it's sweet. It's so precious because it gives them the open door to say, you know what? I've really been struggling. And they begin to pour out and you're able to minister to them. Okay. And so it's for a purpose in the body. And so it's funny too, because mercy people tend to be very sensitive, okay? And so a lot of times they cry easily, okay? And so what happens is they're over here and they're just like, man, they're crying about everything. And you got someone else over here who's not mercy gifted and they're like, what is wrong with you? Pull yourself together, okay? Like, stop your crying. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. You see it in the body. And so my sister is not mercy motivated and she's like, pull yourself together. I'm like, oh, but my heart. I just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, oh my gosh, you know. So mercy is like you feel everything everybody else is feeling, okay? And so often it is a great gift for intercessors, okay? Because you can really go and take that to the Lord in prayer. I don't know how many times I've just went and wept before the Lord because I could feel what somebody else was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I poured out because somebody, listen, even my own son who's battled depression doesn't know how to pour it out to the Lord. So I've taken that to the Lord and I've just interceded and poured that out for him. I believe it's a powerful gift. And so it's really well with pastoring because you feel the people's, you know, you feel what's going on in them. And so you don't dismiss it. You really take time to minister one-on-one to these people. And so it can be difficult too because mercy people can get taken advantage of, okay? And that's why you have other giftings in the body to balance you. My husband is gifted in a way he can come in and say, Tammy, no. Oh, we're not going this way. And he sees how when I'm being taken advantage of and says, no. And I've had to really lean on him and say, okay, because my heart just wants to go and do. And there are times that my husband will say, no, we're not, Tammy. And I have to trust him. And we come together and I pull him in too. Sometimes he's so hard. I say, come on. You got to come over here, Chris. We're coming together. And so we balance each other. See, the body of Christ is to balance each other. Doesn't this make you appreciate others' giftings? I mean, I'm just so appreciative because I need them and they need me. They need you and I need you. Okay? Vice versa. Somebody's calling me. Sorry. Anyway, all that to say, let me see. We're almost to finish this up. So they are attracted, to people in need, and they're also very patient with people in need. Okay. They can be patient when other people are like, oh my gosh, I don't know how you keep going on with that person. See, mercy never quits. Mercy never quits. Mercy keeps going. Mercy will cry out. It's mercy that caused Jesus to say, Father, forgive them. for they know not what they're doing. See, it's mercy to be able to say, I know this person keeps doing me wrong. I know it, but gosh, I'm just going to keep going. Jesus went all the way. Mercy will go and go and go and go. And someone else is going, you're just a floor mat or a doormat, and you're just being stepped all over. And you say, it's okay, let them step on me. I don't mind. I'm going to be the mat that'll get them to Jesus. You see, that's what mercy does. And so mercy compels you to lay yourself down and say, I don't care. I'll be the doormat if that's what it takes to get them to Jesus. Mm. So it's one of those precious gifts that's very dear to me because the Lord has given that to me. And so don't think I'm more passionate about it than others. It's just what you're gifted in, you're very passionate about. You understand that gift. And so it helps you to understand why people are doormats, okay? You can understand they got a mercy gift, and that thing needs to grow. See, he also said that we're to be gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. So mercy people have to grow in wisdom, supernatural wisdom. So see, there's weaknesses in all of these, and there's strengths in all of them. And so know that you need to grow in some wisdom, okay? Let me also say this. Mercy givers, you cannot save people, and it's not your responsibility, okay? That is something I've really had to grow in. I can only give what I can give. It is not my responsibility to save everybody. It's not up to me. See, mercy givers think that if we're not doing it, this person's they're going to die. Something's going to happen. It was all my fault. So mercy givers really have to understand that it is only God who saves. It is only God. You are the vessel that's going to release mercy to them, but God's going to save them, okay? And it's in his time. Also, mercy givers are very motivated by the desire to see people healed of hurts, okay? We want to see people healed of hurts. They're not just a physical healing. They see the soul wounds. They want to help these people get healed. They're also truly compassionate and gentle in nature, and they tend to avoid firmness. It's hard to be firm when you're a mercy person, okay? You can be firm to a degree, but man, you're squishy. I don't know what else to say. You're squishy. The heart is squishy, okay? So it's hard to be firm. But God brings people in to help counteract that, okay? So I hope this helps us understand. Let me just say real quick, leadership and administrators, one of the areas you'll need to grow in is understanding to be willing to listen to other people. You're not the only person who has a good idea. So it's really important that you're willing to work with the body and you're willing to listen. A good leader can listen and say, I don't know everything. There could be a better idea and maybe I should hear this out, okay? I think also need wisdom because sometimes they can give to a point where they put themselves under, okay? So there is wisdom that needs to come along with that gift. Grow in wisdom, okay? Exhorters and encouragers have to also understand that sometimes tough love is needed, okay? It's really hard for exhorters to accept tough love. We think you're being mean, okay? Like, you're mean. But sometimes you gotta be mean, okay? Teachers need to understand that sometimes not everybody's going to see the things the way you see. And let's understand that sometimes everything that you think you know, there could be a deeper level of that. So understand that somebody may be trying to show you a deeper level. Be willing to be open that you don't know everything and that God does not go outside of his word, okay? He will not go against his word, but he will go against your understanding of the word, okay? So teachers really have to grow in this, okay? And also servers and helpers, I think, really have to grow in and not being angry with other people who are not serving, okay? Sometimes servers can say, well, nobody ever does anything. I'm the only one that does anything around here.
Martha.
You have to understand and grow in love and understand that not everybody is gifted in that. It's not just that they don't want to help. A lot of times, if you don't have a helper's gift, you don't even know where to help. And sometimes you feel like, I'm just getting in the way. I might as well just not even be in there. I'm the kind of person, if you just tell me what to do, I'll do it. But I don't necessarily see it all and say, this is what needs to be done. And in fact, I feel rude, like I'm stepping in where I shouldn't step in. So helpers, learn to ask for help. Oh, that's it. The Holy Spirit said helpers have to learn to ask for help. Okay, so that is one of the areas you'll have to grow in service giftings, okay? And I think I already went over the prophetic. Prophetic people have to really learn to give grace, okay? You have to learn to be patient with people. You have to learn to love. You really need to grow in love. And so I hope that helps us today. I hope you've heard a little bit about where you are, maybe. I want to encourage you wherever you are, grow in that. Get with some studies on that. Get with pastors on that. Grow in that. Begin to work in it today. Don't hold back. Whatever it is, begin to do it. Begin to grow in it, though, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. That's so sweet. The welcome mat at the door.
Oh, I love it. Mercy is the welcome mat.
At the door.
At the door.
Woo! You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, from our gorgeous sister in Christ, Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey.
Hey.
Y'all have a blessed day. We'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.